CBS Sports Radio.
Live from CBS Radio Studios in New York City, it's the DA Show with your host, Damon Amendolara, featuring producer Mraz and the musical sounds of the Zap Zap Orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's DA.
Okay, happy Monday to you boys and girls. Children of all ages, it's Mraz, it's Bogus, it's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. Ooh, ooh, ah, 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 ah. DA will be back tomorrow through Friday.
Count.
We're going to have, like, it's going to be like an all-star crew the next couple of days. Bogus won't be on updates. He'll be over here. We'll have anchors in. I'll be producing. Then I'll be from home one day. Boy will be here. Things are getting nuts. So I don't know what DA has up his sleeves for the farewell tour. You will have the rest of this week, me and DA, and then the week of the 17th. So only 9 more DA shows with me and DA together exist here in the month of July. All right?
Is it really only 9?
Now, me and you will see each other more because we'll see each other 3 times next week. But remember, right. I have that week vacation coming up in between. So there we go.
9.
Pete, quick question. Do I continue to submit days off to you or am I done with you?
You're done with me.
Okay. That's good.
More significantly, Pete is done with you.
Yeah.
Just cross it off my ledger.
Cross him off then.
So we have done a lot of sports, but I'm actually very curious about this because we got to get loose, man. It's the end of June. We've talked about the College Baseball World Series coming up here in a 3rd game. DeAndre Ayton, he's not going to be moved by Phoenix. Antonio Brown making excuses. Pete, I must ask you.
9.
All kidding aside, because we had the Carlos versus Boyle tit for tat. I'm sure that the job I'm having, and this is not to tap me on the back, but it's just this is the way it works right
now.
Sure,
here. It's not.
When a job becomes available and we have a roster of part-timers, they basically want to fight each other tooth and nail to get the job because that's what you work for in this business.
I'm not fighting anybody.
I didn't ask you to. Hold on. That's not the point, is it that? Here's my point for Pete. How much stress does it put on a schedule maker to know that I'm leaving in 3 weeks and we don't have the spots filled and we may not full-time on that basis, knowing that you're somebody that likes to pre-plan? Is this throw up the Pete the body summer a little bit?
Not really, because we have a plan for the plan. We have part timers who've done the show, so we'll just rotate them in as we figure out who's going to be the producer.
Okay, all right. So
it's actually not that bad.
Okay, you can understand the question though, right?
Yeah, it's actually easier than someone giving a 2 weeks notice, because then it kind of, if you have something planned already, you have to blow it up.
Right. So I guess you hadn't scheduled August anyway.
We were in the process of it when this all went down.
Okay.
Despite you asking in February for our August dates, you were just getting around to it now?
Correct.
Okay. Very interesting. Mm. Very, very interesting, folks. Wouldn't you say so?
Yeah. I thought that would have been one of Pete's main objections, that you were creating more work for him by leaving. Just like I was mad at the end of last week because you leaving was making DA reconfigure his attorney schedule, which was taking away these shows from me, meaning I had to do actual work on updates and be here longer. And then lo and behold, that's actually not the case. I don't know what I'll be doing tomorrow through Friday, but it will not be updates. So thank you for leaving, Sean.
So that's my next question. And this is so perfectly wrapping up my time working with DA, which is we all bubbled and babbled about last week. It's been a great time. DA, for all of his strengths, I think perhaps his biggest weakness is when he has an idea, has a plan, usually it's either very last minute or we're all the last to know.
Yes.
So I wonder, Pete, and this is what I'm very scared of in terms of editing work or anything, things he may want to play back from the past. I'm assuming there's going to be some of that. Has he tipped you off to anything he's looking for, or are we going to be blindsided tomorrow?
There's a couple things that we've kind of all discussed, but that's it.
Without me.
I thought you were on those emails, but you can't get into your work email.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think just generic conversations, not specific, get me this, let's do that.
Because that's my worry. Tomorrow morning I'm here, DA comes rumbling in, we need this, we need that.
I think a lot of it is in the final week, and I think everyone was talking, a couple people asked about the buffoon.
Yeah.
And I think they were going to do something where it incorporates previous ones and the ones that we haven't done yet.
Okay, so our thought is you guys will get the normal-ish DA show that we've known, kind of get the last taste of that for the next 4 days. And then coming back that week of the 17th, it's full-blown farewell tour?
I would say so, or similar, yeah.
Okay, all right. So there you have it. That's kind of pre-planned. Then Bogus and I will have fun for 3 days next week with some fireworks mixed in between, right?
Sure.
Sound like a plan to everybody?
I like it.
And you guys will have fun without me and get a sense of the world without me that week of the 10th. And there we go.
Yep.
All right. So now that we've carved out that, we've tightened it all up, if you will.
That is correct.
We can get back to sports.
Finally.
So we mentioned earlier in this show about Sham Sharania. Sharania. It's a fun name to say, no matter if you can say it or not.
Especially when you say it wrong.
I still don't know the correct way to say his last name, so I just stick with Shams.
All right, so Shams works for FanDuel, has a report out there that Scoot Henderson, you know, gaining momentum to go number two overall. He doesn't. Then there's the whole controversy. Brandon Miller goes number two. For, you know, all of the stuff that went on with him, with the murder and the gun. And look, we know the deal with Brandon Miller. So he goes number two to Charlotte, and he gets booed. He gets booed. Now, does he get booed because the Hornet fans wanted Scoot Henderson and they'd been given false hope? Does he get booed because, well, everything that he was accused of and it was a part of at Alabama? Either way, he got booed as a number two overall pick. And Brandon Miller responded to those boos.
To the ones that's booing, I'm here to let you know we're going to get a lot of wins this year. Definitely going to try to get the, you know, hold up the big trophy at the end. You know, just going to have a lot of winners around me.
All right, not exactly exhilarating stuff there from Brandon Miller. The big trophy at the end? Folks, he said, we're going to hold up the big trophy at the end.
At least he didn't call it a piece of tin.
Yeah.
True, but he doesn't know what it's called. And he's trying to win it now as an NBA player.
He's like Googling who's
Larry
O'Brien.
Unless he means the midseason tournament.
That's true. But isn't this what somebody told us, one of our guests last week, that pre-draft, that Brandon didn't have the best interviews. He left little to be desired in like face-to-face.
That was awkward.
Yeah, and that was an awkward. You called Wembanyama boring. I'd rather have Wembanyama eight days out of seven personality-wise over Brandon Miller.
I know it's very hard to separate that somebody lost their life and what involvement could be with Brandon Miller from this. So I'm trying to only do this about basketball, okay? I feel like if you want to constantly have that conversation, that will just continue to get in the way. From a basketball standpoint, I'm okay with Brandon Miller sounding that boring. Ultimately, boring players can be boring or whatever.
Good players can be boring.
Right.
Yeah.
I kind of appreciate that he got booed and that was his response. Hey, you know, we're going to win. We have good play. He's trying to say the right things. It clearly didn't affect him. And I almost wonder if it's some kind of sick, twisted, demented way going through what he went through, where basically every road team was booing him, saying horrible things, holding up signs, in an odd way prepared him for negative backlash in the NBA mentally.
Yeah, I mean,
not that you want to be in that scenario.
No, but I guess experience does matter, right? Yeah. I mean, he's done it. I would think on most nights in the NBA, he's probably not going to hear overwhelmingly negative things. There's always going to be somebody yelling things at him, but he's not going to walk into arenas and face like a firestorm every night.
The Hornets don't even have a real rival.
Like,
the Hornets come through your road town. It's one of those, your season ticket holder's probably giving away your tickets, and you might be going to your one game a year. You're going to have a couple of beers, bring your kids, maybe have fun.
Yeah, they roll into those big Hornets-Wizards games.
Yeah.
The fans in D.C. aren't going nuts.
Exactly. So, but on the flip side of it, maybe Brandon Miller is a separate case because you may not agree with the ethics of everything that happened. But when your team makes a selection, and we've seen in the NFL before, is it ever okay to boo the draft pick before? You're going to plenty of time to boom your whole career.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I have a pretty wide acceptance for just booing. Like, it's okay. He's not the guy you wanted for whatever reason. Off-court stuff, on-court stuff, you boo. You're not necessarily booing him directly all the time. You're kind of booing the choice, or you're booing the GM for bringing him on board. It's fine. I'd rather you boo than say something completely unacceptable to somebody.
That's true. Booing is actually a very safe way to let out your frustration.
Right. And sometimes the player is not the actual target, and that sucks because you're still going to feel like you're the target. But I think fans can boo.
Right. Like, so let's say you're Brandon Miller and you got picked, right? And Charlotte Hornets fans are that upset. Would you rather hear, boo, or would you rather hear, hey, Brandon, your sister's ass?
So you're at these games.
You'd rather be booed. Now, of course, you could say more vulgar things than that.
Right.
But you'd rather be booed.
Yeah.
Of course you would.
And I would not want to take away the visuals in particular of, like, how many great NFL clips do we have of fans freaking out in the stands because they don't like the pick that their team just made.
Yes, Peter Schwartz.
Yeah, we need that.
Like, for me, when WFAN announced I was coming over the afternoon drive, I would have rather people booed me than had somebody Photoshop Danny DeVito over me in a picture. Which was very hurtful.
I can't believe Cap didn't think of that.
Poor Danny DeVito.
Yeah. Have some respect for Danny DeVito. He's a great actor.
Come on.
It's Always Sunny at Bob's Bar.
Or have our boss tweeted at you hired another fat, bald, bleep, bleep when talking about me. So, I mean, those things happen. I'd rather be booed.
Chris Moore?
You know, I'd rather be booed. So, I mean, Brandon Miller, you'd rather be booed.
It's an interesting point. You, BT, Sal, Tiki. All bald. Now, Craig was bald, so that's only a net gain of...
Very bald over there.
It really is.
So but, if you want a job at the Fan, shave your head.
No, but bald is now in. That's the good thing. We are living in a bald renaissance.
So you think that we're ahead of the curve at the Fan for collecting bald sports personalities?
I just heard what you did there, Bogus.
No. I don't think it's about being ahead or behind a curve. I just think that when you were bald and you lost your hair, you were like, looked at as a schlemp in society.
Okay.
Let's say. Now, when you're bald, if you go with the clean head shaving, it can be deemed as sexy. It's deemed as popular. It's deemed as in. Now, you also got to go head shave. Nobody wants the horseshoe like Costanza anymore. That is a disgrace. If you go bald, you might as well shave your head. But it's in. I know this is going to like shock people who have their hair. And bless you if you do. Bald is in now. It is. It's odd. Now, it may not be in again in 10 years. And I might be sitting there going, oh, boy.
Mm.
But it's in right now. It has sex appeal.
Okay.
You disagree?
So good for the Fan. I mean, you're not in my demographic. You're not my target audience or
vice versa. There's no negative. Now, I will say, did I tell you guys a story about the gym a couple weeks ago?
Drove past it?
That you got Wendy's after coming
you
to the gym?
You found out where it was.
There was a young man who was there with his mother, and I know this from where my wife works. He had some mental disabilities, okay. Which is fine. But he looked up at me before I knew he did. And the first thing he said when he looked up at me at the gym, we were passing each other around the locker room. Ha ha, you bald.
Okay.
I had to realize maybe it's not all the way in as I think, if that's still deemed offensive.
Well, I mean, again, that's not the right audience for your situation right now. So
right. There you go. How did we get on this? The booing.
The booing.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Brandon Miller, your sister's ass, bald, is in, Bordes, except at the gym.
If you were, you can never react negatively to getting booed. You have to say the right things because there's far worse things than getting booed. And if you're somebody that hates somebody booing somebody, understand, again, there's far worse things and detrimental things that could be said.
I'd get very sarcastic if I was getting booed like that. I'd wave to the crowd. You know, I get, that would be my only response to it.
Pete waving. Could you imagine Pete finally going to Boise next year with me gone and getting booed, and then he waves to the crowd?
I would.
How great would that be?
I would.
How great would that be?
I'll take a sack of potatoes, please. You know, I'm dying for a Boise potato.
If only that was possible.
I'll take a sack of potatoes. The time I went, we were stuffing potatoes, vodka. I mean, there's a lot of stuff I had to put in a suitcase. I had to buy another bag.
You know, I my only hope in all of this is that I inherit the number two position on the DA like love list.
Okay.
Like the guys in Boise that send stuff to you and DA, I wanted to go down to me and DA. Katie Lindendahl brings the fancy stuff to you and DA.
You want to be
the second.
Whoever gets replaced me ain't going to like that.
I know, but I mean, no matter who it is, I've got seniority on them.
So maybe the art of the DA show producership should be about producing and not on air, and you should be that guy.
I don't want more responsibilities. I just want more
Pete
gifts.
Pete said, That's what Pete's thinking, huh? Man. Pete is revealing a lot of secrets here.
I'm not revealing any secrets.
Trust the process.
Trust the process. Like that great bacon restaurant in Boise.
Yeah, bacon.
They send you gifts.
I wasn't even there.
The year I went.
Yeah.
Now, I got great care there, but if they sent you a gift bag back, which they missed you so much, I need that kind of connection still.
So hopefully you make it.
Because you don't need that in New York. You don't need Boise anymore.
I mean, first of all, I'm never going to forget. I might vacation in Boise.
And I'd like to get the little things that Bogus gets in as he moves up.
So you want, exactly. Now you want, it's a trickle down.
Right. I'll move up to the
so
third.
Basically, whoever replaces me gets the grunt of whatever Pete gets.
Yeah.
The half a cookie Katie brought.
We shift into DA, obviously remains number one. Now I'm two.
Oh, this
now
is interesting.
Pete's three, and then whoever is, what do we do with Cap, Pete?
Cap's in another
he doesn't count?
Stratosphere.
Okay. Wow, Pete still doesn't count Cap.
Okay,
interesting.
So
no,
TV.
he's in another. He's
what does that mean?
All telling.
He's what?
He's all telling. He's
the wizard.
Size over all of us.
But what does that mean for his trickle down on stuff?
Omnipotent.
You're saying he's screwed, is basically.
Oh no, he's in a different category, but a good category.
Huh?
It sounded like Pete said that Cap doesn't deserve things.
Oh, stop!
That's exactly what he said.
Probably above me.
Maybe Cap should apply for my job, and then we get somebody to do Cap's job. Anybody ever think of that?
No.
Move Cap out of the back room.
Yeah. Here. Let Cap be the new producer, executive producer of the DA show, and get a new digital guy.
There's an argument to be made that replacing Cap would be more difficult than replacing you.
I don't think that's an argument.
Okay.
I was trying to be nice.
Fact.
Fair. Anybody can make the fart jokes and not remember baseball players. Interesting. All right, so a lot of moving parts here. On the TA show in late June.
By the way, says he would be excellent.
He would be. By the way, Kaplan's been a radio producer, but he would be excellent. He absolutely would be. But your point about we lose it on the digital, I think DA would rather not hire anybody to replace me than lose Cap from that part of it. So, either way, mean, food for thought, something to chew on here on the DA on CBS Sports Radio. The one thing I care about, I really care about who replaced me. Just missed what I want to see the interviews. I wish that Cap could Twitch them. I want to watch them. We still haven't announced a Hard Knocks team for this year. I want to be all in on who replaced me and where people went wrong or right. Don't you want to know that, Bogues?
I mean, I hope I do know it. I hope.
Like if Jack Stern interviews, wouldn't you love the cameras in that room?
I mean, Jack's got to interview for this, right? Whether he wants to or not.
He would be silly. Honestly, he would be silly if he doesn't.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought I was going to get the fat man excited. That's all I can say.
You know, Jack would be the most controversial person to take that job. Not in like the controversy of him getting it.
I would
what
say
he
this.
Would deliver as in that role.
He's a wild card.
You heard me wrong?
He's a lightning rod.
And by the way, may end up be the best thing.
Yeah, you know, Boyle walks in there, talks about girls and college baseball.
Maybe
Carlos
that's what Jack needs, a more settled role, and then he'd be great. Hmm. Yeah, honestly, it's an interesting hire.
You could get Bates goods out of it.
You can call me whatever you would like.
Right, he's open-minded.
Kai Don't Horton. Sleep on it, he could wow. He could wow the
interview. Kristaps Porzingis.
All right, well, when we come back, just chew on that, take a sip of that. Plus, Boyle will hopefully get through all 15 minutes of his update and then give us a stun to a news.
You're a beast. DA show. You're a tank.
Sports Radio. You know what? Screw you. I mean, enough with this Connor Green. I mean, come on, the guy's ego.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the DA show on CBS Sports Radio. Tweets coming in at Sean Morash, at Andrew Bogish. Timbo Slice tweets in, I hope Jack Stern gets a fair shot at Sean Morash's chair on the DA show. So that's one vote for Jack.
Two.
Carla with a K tweets in, I just realized this was the last Bob's Bar show and I missed it. I'm so sad. When you come to Boise, Sean won't be along. Oh, man. We don't know for sure. DA is vouched that there will be a Bob's Bar show, so me and DA still have to just see each other since this announcement to kind of go over the details on how that would work and how that would look. But I wouldn't say it's the last. I mean, look, we just had all these people fly in and go, that's going to be the last time there's a DA show get-together. We can't make that happen. My dad's still living at Sky High here, which, by the way, he hung up the new sign and has been having a cooler bring him drinks at every turn. Good for him.
It's amazing.
I actually haven't been to Bob's Bar since the Bob's Bar show.
No, I have.
Have you?
No.
Yeah, I need a good cleansing. Curtis tweets in, who had a better meltdown, Carlos with a K over Tutties or Greg Caserta on his epic Captain Jack rant? Interesting. I think Carlos just went longer. I think I'd go Carlos with a K.
Well, Carlos has really came out of nowhere. We were already in on Jack when Caserta joined and freaked out. So I think Carlos gets the nod because it was so organic and so out of nowhere.
True.
That's a good point. He just ran right into the right and just chastise Boyle. Good for him.
Dixieland Dan tweets and saying Tutty is as bad as someone calling their husband hubby or their wife wifey.
Ooh.
Huge pet peeve that drives me bonkers. You're a grown ass person. Use those words. Wifey does become a little cringe.
Yeah.
But I'm in my wife's phone as hubby, so I think Dixieland
hubby
Dan's wrong.
Hubby gets a pass.
She doesn't call me hubby, but that's how I'm listed in her phone.
I've definitely had times where I've been out with friends. And not often, because now with two kids, they come out often. And it might be like a girl I knew from around town or girl I went to school with. And, you know, you run it, you know, like the locals would. And I've had this said to me, where's wifey tonight? And it always struck me as an odd thing to ask somebody. Like, A, mind your freaking business where she is. But B, is that hitting on you when you call them wifey? Another woman calls them your wifey?
No, I think the key is whether they are trying to be cute or not. Like, if you really, like, if that was an actual question, that's weird. But if just, like, wait, there's wifey, like, as, like, lighthearted, that's a little better.
Interesting. It always is weird.
Because if I've ever if I've ever said wifey, it's usually in a sarcastic way, like, oh, let me check with wifey if somebody's asking, like, to make plans or something like that.
So I don't think I have a problem anybody calling anybody hubby or wife. I just don't do it. Hubby? What does that mean? I guess I'd rather
it's
hubby
for husbands
than tubby. I've been called tubby plenty of times. Moist Pork tweets, and you can follow him at moist_pork. Not worse than couples in their 50s calling each other mom and dad even when their kids aren't with them. I've never heard that. So I would look at my wife and be like, mom, come over here.
Yeah, no. No. People do that?
I guess.
That's terrible.
Maybe where Moist Pork and the Porkettes are? Shlomo with an Expos hat? Maybe. By the way, what do we think of this guy who keeps coming up on TV who smoked a gator outside the College Baseball World Series?
And, like, it's head-on, full gator, just skinned from the neck down.
Should be arrested.
Look, this is not popular in the Northeast. This may come as a surprise to some of you listening in some of our states down south. We don't eat gator up here. I tried it when I was in Florida. Not for me.
My wife had it in New Orleans and loved it.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe it's different ways it was cooked?
I don't need any of that. I don't need to open up a grill and see an alligator in there like that.
Yeah, like, I'm good.
Yeah.
The chicken has been perfect to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to stray from the chicken to have an alligator.
Especially since everybody compares everything to chicken anyway. Oh, it tastes like chicken. You know what tastes like chicken? Chicken tastes like chicken. I'm good.
And tutties.
That's the kind of insight you're going to be getting beginning in August here on CBS Sports Radio.
Look, alligators killed chubs. That's another thing,
that's
too.
That's true.
Pete's got a long memory. There's no forgiveness.
That's the second Happy Gilmore Ridiculous. Reference in 2 days.
Boyle, would you eat a gator?
Yes.
Have you eaten a gator?
No. I would try it. I would try most things in this world.
You would bite it as it's still thrashing in the water.
I don't know if that's possible. Can our teeth break the skin of an alligator?
No.
And as jacked as you are, you couldn't wrestle an alligator into submission, I don't think.
Don't look ahead to the last hour
Hold
of the show.
On.
Or part of the interview process.
Yes.
Can you wrestle a gator?
That's the third question.
Well, people have wrestled animals before.
Yeah, alligators is an animal that can kill you, though.
But what's the scariest animal you think you could out-wrestle if you had to life on the line?
Life on the... I mean, I'm going to give everything I got against a bear.
But you think you could beat a bear?
Over an alligator, over a shark? What weapons am I being employed with?
None.
No weapons at all, just bare hands?
Your hands.
I could do a shark. Punch to the eye.
I think anything...
In the nose. That thing's going away. If I don't get critically bit in the first 5 seconds of that fight, it's over, because I'm swinging right at its face, and that's going to send the shark away.
Yeah, I think anything north of a fox, and you're in trouble. All of us, not you specifically. Once you get past
I'd
that...
I'd even be scared of a fox, to be honest.
Anything north of a goldfish, I'm in trouble.
You've got a chance with a fox, but any kind of adult bear, you're not winning
I think anything on land, you got to feel good about your... The sea, it's a total road game. It's like the Saints trying to play any playoff game on the road in the Breeze era.
It's the
road
game.
You got no shot, shark, gator. Yeah. That's their home.
Yeah, but
bear, I agree. Not. I'm not... I'm going to be 14-point dog, but I got a shot.
Anything on land? So
wait, against a bear, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it also depends. Like, there was that video that came out a couple of weeks ago that the dude who, the grizzly bear all of a sudden charges at him while he's on a mountain, and he basically, like, kicks it off the
But you might have a bear submit like you did to Lottie in Yellow Jackets.
What?
It's not unfunny. I'm not up to speed on Yellow Jackets yet.
Oh, okay. Watch Yellow Jackets. Land, we're all dogs, except maybe versus a dog, even some dogs.
There's some dogs that could, like, German Shepherd could rip a lot of people to shreds.
Yeah, the sea, it's unwinnable.
Unwinnable.
I disagree.
If you're out in the open ocean where you can't put your feet down, you're not winning. Like, you might get lucky to survive, but you're not winning that.
Right. You need a clean shot on that shark's nose in order for you to get a chance.
They just showed Shark Fest commercial. Yeah,
how ironic is that? The shark needs to shank a field goal. Like, that's your shot to win.
And I also think when they tell you, like, to hit the shark in the eye, that's just them giving you the slightest glimmer of hope that you can survive a great white chomping into your midsection.
Yeah, but, well, they've got very sensitive noses.
Do you guys get excited around here northeast, or even if you've been on vacation, or scared when you hear, everybody out of the water, there's like a shark sighting? Like, are you like in on like, yes, I'm here to see a shark?
Yes, I get excited.
Or are you like, are you kidding me? Now I can't go in the water the rest of the day.
Well, I've never been called out of the water for a shark.
I have.
So, but I want to see a fin. Like, when I sit on the beach, I am constantly scanning, not even out of for like safety. I just want to see it. And now around here, because the water is apparently cleaner and warmer, we've got whales breaching. And stuff like that. I want to say, I love sea life. I want to see
I'm
that
looking
stuff.
For other things popping out. Bugs, not fins.
I never see. I've been called out because somebody has spotted, like from a helicopter or something. Right. But I've never actually seen it. Even like, it'll always be like, I'll park my beach chair down at like 10:30 a.m. Right, and I know some of you maybe in the middle of the country can't relate because you know you're near lakes. Maybe you see grouper or whatever. Okay. I will park my beach chair down. It'll always be like the person next to me. This happened to me a couple times. You just missed the dolphins come by about 30 minutes. I'm like, I missed dolphins flipping through the water.
Yeah, that's all I've seen is dolphins.
And after that, it's seagulls eating spicy chili Dorito bags.
Oh, and then my first experience on the Gulf Coast of Florida, when the police boat or the, you know, the whatever it is, comes slowly by and they're guiding a manatee through like the water. Like, I've seen, but I never, nothing bigger than that. I need to see a live whale somewhere.
All right. Well, this week.
Yeah, I even want to go, like, when they say, like, a whale washed up on, like, I want to go and just see what it looks like laying on the sand like that.
I agree. As sad as it is, I agree. But no, you got no shot, boy. You ain't beating a shark. No shot.
I'm not talking about, like, dismantling a shark and then eating its blood. I'm just saying, like, if I had to survive, I think I'd have at least a puncher's, no pun intended, chance against the shark. If I catch it cleanly in the nose, it's going to swim away.
You know where you got no shot, lion or tiger on the land. At least you got a shot with a bear.
You'd be dead in seconds.
It's just going to shock you we're allowed that close to the lions in the safaris and the zoos.
It's at your own risk.
Yeah.
I think most people don't realize how enormous lions and tigers are, unless you see one in person.
Because we're used to them being subpar sports franchises.
Or just seeing them on TV.
Yeah. All right. June radio for you, folks. Have at it. Told you we'd get through, Carlos.
Lions, tigers, bears, oh my.
It's not funny.
Now, everyone be quiet and let Boyle do his update because he got a little upset last time we had to cut it short.
All right, my mic's off. Just talk.
You ready? You ready?
Are you ready?
I just told you my mic's off. Talk.
All right. A cool 2K for Freddie Freeman last night.
2-1 to Freeman. Fly ball, right center. Racing on back, Tucker, he can't get it. It rolls to the wall, arriving at second base. Freddie Freeman, career hit 2,000. And altogether fitting and proper, it is with a double.
Charlie Steiner, Dodgers Radio. Freddie Freeman now sixth. He still is. What is that?
Soundtrack. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks, Pete. Freeman sixth amongst active players now with 2,000 hits. I feel like I should be doing an elevator voice. That hit also brought in Mookie Betts, made it a 4-2 game in the eighth inning. Will Smith then hit a 2-run tater to tie it at 4. Houston would prevail in extras, 6-5 the final in 11 innings. They avoid the sweep with the win. Astros are now 5.5 games back of the Rangers in the AL West because the Yankees used a 3-run eighth inning to come from behind and take the rubber game from the Rangers in the Bronx yesterday. Their offense next to lifeless since Aaron Judge went down with his big toe injury 3.5 weeks ago, which, by the way, he revealed over the weekend that he has a torn ligament. So, Shawnee, I don't know if Aaron Judge is even going to be coming back this year.
Yeah, probably not.
But, yeah, Yankees had 3 runs in the first 2 games over the weekend. Then they got 3 runs in that eighth inning yesterday. They beat the Rangers 5-3. The Mets.
By the way, DA just texted me, when's your last show with us? Does this guy pay attention at all?
I told you, that was in his email last night.
It's a good show, DA. You should listen.
Oh.
The Mets, just like the Padres, continue to be a rich team of losers.
2-2 to Turner. Now the pitch. Breaking ball inside. He hit him. He hit him on 3-2, and that brings the go-ahead run home.
unbelievable implosion by the Mets bullpen.
That is right. That's Howie Rose, Mets Radio. Mets bullpen melts down again. Fifth time this year, they've blown a lead of three or more runs. Phillies come back for an undeserved 7-6 win in the rubber game at Citizens Bank Park.
Preseason, Pete was playing around with a little FanDuel, betting the Mets to win the World Series. Pete, how you feeling? Any cash out offers?
That's why you only bet like 2 cents.
75 cents.
Yep. I think that's over.
Here's the bottom of the eighth inning for the Phillies, by the way. Four runs on one hit, one costly error on what could have been a double play, three walks, and back-to-back hit batters to tie the game and then give Philly the lead.
It's easy to say, but I think it's true. Only the Mets. I mean, only the, they haven't won a road series since, like, early May. They're terrible in general, and they give up four runs on one hit in the eighth inning because guys named Brigham and Walker and
Bueller.
Vito Natoli, hey, what's that guy's name?
Nick Natoli, we're pitching.
Hey, Nick Natoli, man, I'm a cannoli over here.
Yeah, that's a going. Mets are now Mets. 7 games under 500. They've lost 15.
Is that it?
They've lost 15 of their last 20. But yeah, only 7 games under 500. Elsewhere yesterday, doesn't matter how hard you get hit or bit by a shark. What matters if you get up off the mat. Rockies got off the mat after they got annihilated 25-1 on Saturday. They win the rubber game, beating the Angels 4-3 in Denver. Shohei Ohtani went 2-for-4. No home run, though.
Oh, in Denver.
Angels slink back to just 5 games above 500, so maybe they'll trade him now.
No.
And I'm going to die on that hill.
They added the moose. Not Malusis, the Moustakas. We're going to talk about that a little later on.
Yes. Over to basketball, the Timberwolves and center Naz Reid have agreed on a new 3-year, $42 million contract, which includes a player option. WNBA, the Suns' Alyssa Thomas. She's the new triple-double queen in WNBA history. 14 points, 11 rebounds, 12 assists. The Sun beat the Sky.
Wow. That'll elicit some reaction.
I'll text you that Friday's your last show.
Sun beat the Sky 96-72. Meanwhile, Liberty beat the Mystics 89-88. No T, and the Sparks beat the Wings 93-83. Finally, golf. Keegan Bradley was shaky down the stretch, and still the 37-year-old broke the tournament record at the Travelers Championship yesterday for his sixth PGA Tour victory. He finished 23 under, beating Brian Harman and Zach Blair by 3 strokes each. And at the LPGA Championship, Runing Yin became the second woman from China to win a major championship, hitting a 10-foot birdie putt on the final hole to beat Yuka Sasso by 1 stroke. And now, Pete, cut the music!
Doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
All right, so what do we want to go with here? Because I got sent a submission. I think it was Reed Fatty Crackers Phillips.
the horny ghost,
but that was one you guys already did. So I was scrambling.
We did?
And I've got either the world's ugliest dog or a man who robs a woman and then asks her out.
The robs a woman.
Yeah, that's the one Bogus sent me. So, I'm literally reading the article here for the first time as we're doing this. But
that's good.
You had a man in Indiana.
Very close enough, Sean.
Very opposite places.
2 hours from each other.
I didn't see that end.
Nothing Bus Bear can't fix.
So, yeah, a man robbed a woman getting her mail at her mailbox at gunpoint.
Oh, jeez.
Yep. And the man identified as Damian Boyce basically robbed this woman of $100 in cash and then ended up asking her out on social media.
What?
So he robbed her, went, she's cute in retrospect?
And let me look her up because I have her mail?
Yeah, so she said, I thought if maybe I added him on Facebook, he would leave, and he did.
Wait.
Yeah, hold on. I'm trying, like I said.
Wait a minute. He robbed her with gunpoint and said, hold on here.
And he said, oh, so here we go. So court documents state that Boyce pointed his gun at this woman and told her to add him on Facebook.
Are you serious?
So like he goes.
So he wasn't looking to rob her. He just wanted her to.
No, I don't know. We haven't gotten the plan here. We haven't gotten the manifesto from him.
We haven't gotten to paragraph 4 yet.
It was a halftime adjustment.
But he goes. She said, "I thought if I maybe added him on Facebook, he would leave, and he did." And then the court documents show after he left, he messaged her on Facebook and said, "You was too pretty to rob." Read one of the messages along with saying he would pay her back, and then he asked her to come chill.
Wow. Okay.
We apologized.
Yeah.
So just so I understand what we think happened here, he rolled up with the plan of robbing a woman he saw at a mailbox for whatever cash she had in her wallet. Ends up being $100.
Correct.
In the process of robbing her, pointing the gun, he's looking at her and is mesmerized by that she's very pretty. So he, while pointing the gun, says, "Can you add me on Facebook?"
Demands that she add him on Facebook.
She pulls out her phone, adds him on Facebook. He runs away with said money and then decides now he's going to message her. In which he's the biggest idiot in the world because she can easily press charges now because she knows exactly who he is.
Correct. Absolutely. Absolutely. And apparently at first he said he pulled the gun out and said, "Let me into your house." And she tried to de-escalate.
Yeah, that you can't date somebody like that.
You can't go back out. Even if he apologizes, returns the money,
I'll rob somebody else to take you out to dinner. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's got at least $100 to take her to dinner.
Yeah, you can't.
No.
You can't. If I'm her, I'm out.
Especially if she's hot enough to be saved from armed robbery, she has other options.
True. I don't know.
But here's the thing. He did rob her. He also saved her.
From himself.
Yes.
Right. So, to put aside his stupidity for a second, she apparently is pretty enough to be safer than other women. Because she was so pretty, he was like, "I can't rob you." A normal-looking woman would have been a full-on victim in this scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
And again, you should be able...
This guy's dangerous.
Yeah, and you should be able to tack on 10 years for him being stupid and creepy.
I agree.
There should be a surcharge for giving his name to his victim and then trying to ask her out. There should be a way where he can get more jail time than just like assault and battery and attempted robbery.
Yeah. You could just I can't even call it a day.
I can't even continue to try to like make a joke about how saved. Nah, this guy's a total idiot.
A lost cause.
And probably should be, locked up, throw away the key. Lock him up, throw away the key.
Can I ask about the horny ghost? Because I was very interested in that. When did we do that?
So it was, if I'm remembering correctly.
You might have been out because I definitely was on the show that day.
It was people who like had a Airbnb or some kind of like rental property in Texas, uh-huh. And people kept moving out very quickly, and somebody said, finally told them that they thought the place was haunted. It turns out that like the building used to be a brothel, and they thought like the ghosts of the people that had been in the brothel were like haunting the current people by like making sex noises and stuff like that.
Oh
yeah,
Casper's all grown up.
It was a good one.
Okay,
it was a good one.
You think they got themselves a Casper mattress?
I gotta admit, you're quick with the puns. They might be terrible.
Quick doesn't mean good, though.
No, but here's the thing. That
I know, but tuba, he's quick with them, at least.
That tuba's called the fact that I'm actually really funny with some of these. And we just play them anyway all of them.
It's not the tuba's fault. It's your fault. Because you've oversaturated the market with all of these. If you would just sit a day out and drop... Because Pat's right. There is a quickness involved here, and there is a skill involved, but you're beating us over the head with them. So we don't care whether they're good or not anymore.
Okay.
Just pick your spots better.
What are you going to do? All right.
Pick your spots better. That's like people get bored.
Calm down.
Now I'm going to inflate you a little bit. No pun intended.
Why would that be a pun?
People get bored if Shohei Ohtani's hitting a 430-foot home run every day. But if it happens every 5 days that he happens to be starting and he throws 7 shutout innings, it's like, oh my God, Shohei Ohtani, 7 shutout innings, 500-foot home run, he's the best player to ever play baseball, he's next Babe Ruth. But if he does it every night, it gets old.
Kind of like your Canadian bacons?
No. The bacon was...
That's not nice.
Oof. The bacon was a rough spot. It was a rough...
Because you started to do them every day.
No, I didn't.
Interesting.
I had a rough outing.
I think, honestly... Of this whole situation where I'm leaving this show, I can't wait for next spring to hear how much you guys miss me on Canadian bacon. Oh, and you will. And you will.
We're not going to miss you on bacon.
Oh, you will. Somebody be the first to tweet and go, I kind of miss a Mraz bacon. I got to be honest with you.
What is there to be missed about? The terrible singing? The puns that like don't rhyme or have any rhythm?
Forget about him. You do it very well. You do it the best. Carlos is good. And he just learned hockey.
I wouldn't even say I learned it yet.
Right. Caserta has only done 5 oinks.
And whoever's the next to have the job and has it every day, exposed.
Just like you were.
Exposed.
Jones?
At least you get spell.
The second question on the interview.
Hopefully sing.
Read and write.
Yeah.
Are you literate?
Yep. And who else is going to come
up? You're out.
Who else is going to come up with a buffalo chicken dip recipe this fall?
Yeah, everybody.
Right. Wait, guys. I can put bacon on top of that.
Right.
With dipsy doodles.
You're going to miss me. Whoa, that's three different recipes.
You're going to miss me.
All right, when we come back.
Maybe some original recipes, too.
When we come back, Drew Rosenhaus picked his battle. He fought a shark. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. I don't want to be dealing with mulch on a Monday. I didn't want to be dealing with the last thing I needed was now you questioning how much mulch I was buying. Mind your mulch in business.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, hey, everybody. DA's been asking when Sean's last day here is, and it was scheduled for July 21st. The Friday before July 24th, when he begins his new job over on WFAM. However, Sean's gone now. Today, his last day, that last segment is the last segment because he's disappeared. I don't know if he's in a high-powered meeting. I don't know if he's giving Boyle advice on how to become the next Mraz. Knowing Sean, he could be stuck in a bathroom stall somewhere.
I'm going to go with that.
It could absolutely be C, and here he comes jolly back into the studio. We thought maybe today was your last day.
No, I went looking for IT to fix my phone, and they told me the guy was getting coffee, and then he wasn't getting coffee, so I went up to the info. I lost track of time.
You also signed off the show at this point Friday, so you could have thought we were just done for the day as well.
Yeah.
But you're back.
Interesting. All right, well, I still haven't found the guy in IT. That was an interesting 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. What are we doing here?
Drew Rosenhaus. Here's your second Tyreek Hill mention of the morning, because I guess they were all fishing this weekend, Tyreek and Drew Rosenhaus and other guys, and they reeled in, maybe accidentally, a dusky shark. And Drew got in the water and was, like, tugging on the shark's tail while it was hooked to the boat. And people were freaking out that he was, like, harassing the shark, which he probably was.
Probably a little much, but here's the thing. Why? I don't care what he's hooked onto or anything. Why would you go into shark-infested waters and wrestle a shark? I don't care. Don't tell me some expert. It's only a sand shark or a tiger shark. It's not going to bite you. Sharks have teeth.
They have teeth. I don't know much about a dusky shark, but I do know that sharks have this weird thing, and it looks like it's happening to this shark now. If you turn a shark upside down, it like goes comatose.
What?
If you flip it on its back, it like loses, it like passes out almost.
Almost, or it passes out?
I mean, that's not the right term, passing out, but it puts it in this like docile state if you can flip it on its back.
How does it get out of the docile state?
If you flip it back over.
But it doesn't know how to flip itself back over?
Apparently not.
It's so like Sean.
If you watch any of these, he's like a bug. He gets on his, like a turtle. He gets on his back and he just waves his hands and fingers and try to get back on those.
So it takes some, or like a shark can push another shark
like
back
if
over?
It only happens, it feels like, when you watch these like scientist shows and they're doing research and they like catch a shark, they'll flip it on its back and then they can do stuff to it. They can like take blood samples and like measure it and tag it. Because it's like stunned. I don't know what the right scientific term for it is. And this shark is just kind of laying there. And at one point, its belly is up towards the sky. So I don't know if they accidentally got it into this little thing. But it's not fighting back with Drew Rosenhaus tugging on his tail.
Wow. So then it is tormenting the shark.
Yeah, he should probably leave the shark alone.
At the same time, sharks have had enough wins versus us. Aren't we owed a few?
I don't think that was a win for Drew.
It's such a stupid thing to do. It really is.
I mean, I'd love to touch a shark, but not in the water.
No. Why?
Because, again, I'm fascinated by the ocean, and I love sharks, whales, dolphins. I'm
you
all
should
in.
Have been a buccaneer.
Like, I couldn't be less tough, but I would absolutely get in a cage in the water and have great whites swim around me.
I can't trust it. Did we learn nothing from the submarine? Stop going places we're not supposed to go in man-made equipment.
Nope. I'll do that.
All right. Well, you know what? Then I'll take your next Dave Matthews tickets after that, because you did.
Next month, Jones Beach, Tuesday night, July something. You free?
If Dave can't even play a weekend, he's got to play a Tuesday night.
Jones Beach can't get weekends. Not a big enough venue.
Okay. We'll continue next on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.